Does this hat make my head look small?
I think your hands make you look small.
Nobody listening to the audio podcast gets that, but that's okay. That's man, right. Hands.
Do your hands sound big?
They do when I clap. Erin hates it when I clap next really? To her because I've perfected the whatever, the resonance, and yeah. So it's extremely loud.
Perfected it, meaning you drive everybody around you insane when you
clap. Hey, man, I'm showing appreciation for whomever.
How do you practice clapping?
I don't practice. I just, I've cupped my hands just right that it's like, it's piercingly loud. It's got a good, yeah, it's good.
Can you imagine Doug sitting there and be like, just like clapping to himself? I'm like, no, that's not right.
Yeah. Come back to it's like taking notes, crossing stuff out. One of these days.
Okay, welcome back to Switchcast Season 5. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with the man hands, perfect claps. My co-host, Tyler Sanders. We're the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. Ethan Huffnagel is our executive assistant to the regional producer. He did not get a demotion. I've just been binging The Office again.
Yeah, so good. He hasn't been demoted in a while. We should fix that. We should.
I know. After he gets married, we can demote him again.
Yeah.
He'll be used to being demoted every day.
Sure. Let Hank back in the studio.
If you enjoy this podcast, help us out with the algorithms. Please like, subscribe, share, review. It all helps out with the AI stuff and helps other people see the podcast. Please also support our sponsors, Switch Cars, Nuts for Sticks, Sheffield Watches, and our affiliate, Epic VIN. Or I guess we're their affiliate. But anyway, check them out for great vehicle history reports that tell you more. Go beyond what Carfax tells you. The warm-up lap for the audio listeners only. Let's see. We got a little bit of feedback.
Ooh, was it positive? Was it glowing?
I'm not
just
sure.
Like the redness of my face.
Well, it starts out, you have the story all wrong.
Okay.
So, not great. But it was talking about, and I say this, we love all of our listeners. We love all of their feedback. I got some strong constructive criticism this week, and they were correct. And I appreciate that because I don't listen back to the podcast. So it's nice when people say, hey, this could be tweaked.
Nice.
So unfortunately, I don't know a good plastic surgeon, so that advice will go unheeded. Yeah. But let's see. So we did a story a little bit ago about a Ferrari that got impounded for taxes due to the state, which was expired registration, essentially. Here's the feedback. I'm going to read this as it's written with all of the punctuation.
Nice.
Okay, on your podcast, on the Ferrari, on taxes, you have the story all wrong. When the owner of a car in some states, a not all states law, if you personally owe state taxes on your tax return, Oklahoma, Jersey, some otter states will not let you renew your car registration there. What happened here? This is what happened here. So you know now, if you hold your high-end cars in a trust or holding co, then they can't touch your car. That's why I'm life out, nothing in your name personally for asset protection purposes. State and federal can't take anything on taxes owed unless there's fraud. Then they can't take.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, I think, for the feedback. I know the car was impounded for taxes due to the state because his registration was expired. I appreciate that you're trying to give me legal and tax advice, but you're not my attorney or my CPA. And I'm guessing not anyone's based on this advice. It's some interesting theory about asset protection against the government. I prefer just to keep my registration reasonably current.
Yeah, pay your taxes.
And pay my taxes. Yeah,
seems
that's
easy enough.
The best plan.
If you do that, they're not going to try to take anything.
Correct.
Shocking.
Correct. Yes, we should have legal protection against frivolous lawsuits and stuff like that. You should, if you have significant wealth, have not only good insurance, but also set up some layers of protection. But layers of protection against the government are kind of pointless unless you're not paying them.
Yeah, it's like, why do you need them?
Yeah. It's better said. Let's see. UK car buying challenge, right? So I am going to Scotland. I've already done the thing that I was told not to do. Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It's a verbal tick that I have. I have many of them, and as soon as I get rid of one, I get another one. Anyway, I'm going to Scotland in a month, and I wanted to rent an Aston Martin. That was my dream idea for my 40th birthday. Drive it around, stay at bed and breakfast, go to distilleries, not when I'm driving, of course. But it costs upwards of 15 grand to do this. Oh. And most of the companies have abysmal reviews to the point that I couldn't even be entirely sure that the car I rented would even be there when I arrived, or if it was that it would be the same car that I rented or even proper condition to make the trip. So I made myself a challenge to buy one, drive it for the week, and either export it to the USA and sell it or resell it over there, depending on what I buy. The ideal purchase is, of course, an Aston Martin, so I can pretend to be James Bond.
Yes, absolutely.
But I'm also looking at TVRs, Ferraris, Jaguars, and even some American cars. Someone did offer to lend me their wife's Ferrari for the week.
All right.
But seems like a deal too good to be true. However, as I've grown older, don't call me crazy, I've developed an intense dislike for driving other people's cars. As the only thing worse than having something bad happen to a nice car is having it happen to someone else's car in your custody.
Yeah, yes.
Plus, I want the challenge of trying to pull off buying a car in a foreign country, getting it to the airport, making it the whole week, et cetera, and trying to resell it for profit, or at least have it cost less than renting, which I don't think should be hard at all.
TVR would be sweet.
Yes. I also want it to make the trip, though.
But that's a good point. That's a good point.
I think TVR stands for terrible vehicle regret.
Don't let Dan Doucette hear you. He'll be very upset.
Whatever. He has a Peugeot. So my budget is around 75 grand US, and I've got a little under 1 month to finalize the acquisition and like get it registered and insured and all that stuff over there. So stay tuned to my social media channels to follow the entire journey and see if it's a success or a disaster. You can follow at Douglas Tabbitt. Yes, Douglas Tabbitt on Instagram. That's where most of it will be. It should be fun. So with that, let's get into the main topic, which is tariffs again. But we want to unpack how the manufacturers have responded to the tariffs so far. The caveat, of course, being
could change 5 minutes from now.
Exactly.
Whew.
Heck, by the time that this episode airs, this will probably be irrelevant. Not irrelevant, but a different word I'm looking
for. Ethan, I hope you got your editing fingies ready because we're going to need a bunch of caveats and like splash screen things and whatever. Like, well, this was accurate as a recording. And then,
I'll just have Doug film another disclaimer.
Yeah, was that effective? Did that work?
Some guy had a funny comment about it, but yeah.
Nobody was like, you're an idiot.
It worked. It was good. Context is key, folks.
How about we do one of those for every episode?
We have one at the end.
Oh.
Basically, we're idiots. So to start off with, manufacturers responded, but how has the stock market responded? Woo! Massive swings. Mostly down, although today, the day we're filming, it went down 1,000 points or 1,500, then came back up and then closed down just a tiny bit. But overall, it's down quite a bit, although the initial dip was not as a result of the tariffs being announced. It was when China announced the reciprocal tariff that they were implementing on U.S. goods. Because investors reportedly were fearing a trade war. And I guess Trump said that he's now going to reciprocate with more tariffs to China again. So maybe their fear was not unfounded.
Look, I don't think this is a political stance to say the stock market is just a vibe check. I think the vibes are a bit chaotic. Vibes ain't positive. So, number go down.
Yes. I will get into politics briefly here, though. Briefly.
Since
we're talking about the Chinese tariffs, okay? China allegedly uses slave labor or vastly underpaid people. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. and they pollute like crazy. Not much regulation going on there. Not going to get into scientific stuff, but it's been alleged that a lot of the pollution in our air is from China because it's getting blown over this way.
Oh,
so like it doesn't matter what we do unless China regulates what they're doing. Anyway, if the people in a certain political group who are solidly against Trump's tariffs, I'm not saying I'm for them. It's really, honestly, it's too soon to tell, right? We don't know how they're going to shake out because this is a complex issue and it's going to take time to see the long-term effects of them. And I kind of take issue with people who are just jumping to conclusions because this is a longer-term play of some sort. Whether it's a good play or bad play, we don't know, but it is a long-term play.
Doug, all I know is that I can't pre-order my Nintendo Switch 2 when I'm supposed to, and I cannot stand for this.
I'm so sorry. This is Switchcast, but that's the wrong Switch. If the people against Trump's tariffs are also against the concept of McDonald's not paying a living wage and are also in favor of EVs to supposedly reduce climate change, which I think is a reasonable connection that those three stances go together, shouldn't these tariffs be a welcome change because we're essentially hurting China? Mm. So in theory, by these tariffs happening, we're bringing manufacturing to the USA where we pay a reasonable wage, especially in manufacturing, because a lot of manufacturing has unions. And we have strict environmental regulation here. Some would say not strict enough, but compared to China. So shouldn't all the people who hold those views also be super pro the tariffs? It accomplishes their goals indirectly. Maybe.
I don't know.
I'd say it's doesn't count if it it hits their pocketbook too much. It hurts their pocketbook, right? Everyone wants shade grown fair trade organic eggs until they're $10 a dozen.
Eggs ain't even that good. Anyway.
I don't like eggs at all, so I don't even know. But I remember seeing $12 a dozen eggs, organic eggs, when I was in Colorado a couple weeks ago.
That's wild.
Yes, it is wild.
I'll take just normal eggs, thank you. For like, what is it, $6 a dozen now? I don't know.
But they have hormones.
Yeah, but hopefully not bird flu. Like,
well, I don't think we import eggs from China, so.
No, they're perfect. Anyway, but cars, Doug. We're here to talk about cars.
If they did, they'd be in a shell company to avoid the tariffs. That was a pretty good yoke, huh? Okay, first, I think I spoke in error last week. I reversed the 10% and 15% for Ferrari. Ferrari's increasing prices 10% and absorbing the other 15%. So if I got that wrong, I'm sorry. But
which
what
are,
else
like, props
is going
to
on?
Ferrari for that. I, you know, given all the chaos, that's pretty pretty upstanding brand.
Unless the tariffs don't last long and then they're going to keep the price increase.
What I think is interesting about a lot of what we're about to talk about is the different approaches I think manufacturers are taking related to that. Related to the, is it going to stick or not?
Like, sure.
Let's wait. Let's put a pause.
Right. And a couple companies doing that. We're going to go in reverse order here. Honda is doing nothing.
I think Toyota is also doing nothing. I don't think Toyota's even offering a statement right now. They're just saying like, <"Bip." laughs>
nothing. Wait and see. Honda also has the advantage that they have more vehicles made in the USA than GM or Stellantis. Over 50% of their U.S. sold vehicles are made here. But on the other side of the spectrum, Mazda hasn't done anything either.
Yeah.
And they import 80% of their products, which is second only to Volvo.
Love Volvo.
So I think both of them are taking a we'll see what happens approach.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard anything from Volvo. Are they essentially just kind of saying, you know, we'll wait, do we know?
Good question.
Find this out. And
do it live. Jaguar has halted shipping vehicles to the USA, which was anyone buying them anyway?
I'll say, did they do that for, this is just a convenient excuse for them, honestly. Let's
right. Our days in stock number at the dealers is way too high. Although Land Rover sells quite well, and they've, Jaguar Land Rover is the same company. So that corporate conglomerate has, well, they're not the corporate conglomerate that Tata Motors is, but they've halted shipping vehicles Audi has also halted shipping vehicles, and they've stopped cars from being imported that are sitting at the port. So they're going to pay storage fees, likely in a bet that this tariff will not be permanent. Mercedes is likely halting their A-Class and GLA class, which in my opinion might be their best marketing move ever. I mean, no disrespect to those who own these vehicles, although it seems like nobody owns them. They're probably all lease, but they're like the luxury version of the Altima. Mercedes is a good luxury brand. And then they have these base models that just like, nah.
It's like, what do you...
Can you do the opposite of what Hyundai did with the Genesis and make a different brand?
When I drive my E-Class, I don't want to be associated with these plebeians.
And then they put the AMG badge on everything, too.
Everything. You sneeze over at the factory and you get an AMG, just throw an AMG badge on something. Whew.
Ford and Stellantis are offering employee pricing.
What?
Although
sorry, oh, that Chrysler, was a really bad Hank. We need to get Hank in here. Employee pricing.
GM is not, although they were the big ones to do it, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, destroyed the used car market and the new car market as soon as they ended that. Chrysler is halting production of their minivan and their other minivan.
So hold on a second. I learned something about this whole thing. This has been an educational time for me. I didn't realize they sold two minivans, but they don't actually. They're the exact same, but the Voyager is like the lower two trim levels of the Pacifica. So they just like broke the trim levels apart and make the same car just slightly differently.
Interesting.
So they're trying to pad their lineup.
The Voyager and the Pacifica, and they're pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's all
in Maine. They make the Voyager and the Pacifica.
Pacifica all the way down.
it's disappointing that Chrysler just makes two minivans. Remember when they had the was it the ME16-4 concept and the Atlantic concept? They had some pretty cool stuff in the 90s.
But I'm pretty sure that's the same time they were selling just rebadged Dodges, other than like the Prowler and stuff, right? Like, well, they were...
That
was the
Plymouth
Neo?
That became a Chrysler. Yeah, it was a Plymouth Prowler, then a Chrysler Prowler.
I'm conflating all the different brands they used to have. But I think Chrysler just needs to go away at this point. They've...
Some would argue Stellantis does, too. Ford's A-Plan... supposedly is basically just around invoice, which according to the dealers that sell them, that's what every buyer with pressed jeans and tucked in shirt is already negotiated anyway. Can't say New Balance because they're at the GM store, but same buyer demographic. Like the Ford's A plan is essentially a marketing ploy, in my opinion.
Well, it's like it's a bad secret or whatever that saying is. Like, everybody knows about it, so they're going to go in asking for it. And, you know, I guess, do people do that at GM dealers? I don't know. Who's rocking in to get a Corvette?
Employee pricing.
I think it makes it easier for them to sell cars because it's this fixed pricing. There's no negotiation. It's just a plan for everyone.
Well, yeah.
But then there's multiple employee discounts, too. So I think the A plan is the friends and family, which isn't as good a discount as like the real employee pricing, which is what people that work at the factory get. I think the Z plan. So again, it's a marketing thing. And if they raise their prices at all and then offer a plan, it's like furniture store. We're having a liquidation sale, but
everything is on sale all the time.
Or we raised our prices in anticipation of the sale.
Or it's when you go into Kohl's.
Aaron, is that true? Hyundai and Genesis haven't changed anything other than getting rid of their quality assurance program. There's an office Easter egg for you. Okay. That's Creed's job.
Yes.
Which is free scheduled maintenance. They said no price increases for now, but also the caveat was eventually they will have to pass on costs to consumers.
What I think is interesting is I read something, I think it was related to Kia. Is Kia part of Hyundai Motor Group? Are they related?
No.
No? Okay, so either way, Hyundai Motor Group is...
not to my knowledge. I think they're competitors. They're both South Korean. I must have
copied the wrong quote. But either way, Hyundai Motor Group, this is from a Car and Driver article that is constantly updating to kind of summarize this stuff and the current state of things.
Unlike our podcast.
Yeah. So they're expanding U.S. production to 1.2 million vehicles across Alabama, Georgia, and the new Meta plant in Savannah. The majority of their U.S. sales are locally built. And the Hyundai Motor Group and its subsidiaries employ more than 570,000 people in America. So at this point, are Hyundais just American cars? Don't tell Hank, but I think they might be.
Well, don't tell Hank this either. So and this is going to impact things a lot. The parts tariff, once it takes effect in May, that's going to be the real bugger. Because I looked at a late model Cadillac CT4V today, something right up Hank's alley. And the engine is made in Austria. 46% of the parts are US/Canadian. That means 54% are not. And if you break down US-Canadian, like, who knows?
Because yeah,
the Canadian parts are subject to tariff as well. So even the American cars are going to be subject to price pressure as a result of these tariffs. I think the end goal is what you said, Hyundai Motor Group producing cars and then producing more cars in the US.
I did look it up. Volvo also is planning to increase U.S. production.
Okay.
They said the answer is that we need to make more cars where we sell those cars, just in general. So,
hopefully they increase U.S. sales also.
I'm so sad to hear the V6. Some version of the V60 went away. I think V90's gone too. RIP wagons.
So the real truth about all of this is that the outcome that is going to happen is really determined by your political beliefs. So if you're a Republican, this is the greatest chess move in history. And this is just an opening offer and ongoing negotiations. And it is going to bring back manufacturing and the world's going to be amazing. If you're a Democrat, then Orange Face has just destroyed the economy. There is no possible in between. So whatever side you're on, you're right. And you know what's going to happen. We're just here. Might as well be talking into the wall because, you know, we have a middle of the road opinion trying to just actually look at facts.
Yeah, we try until those facts get out of date tomorrow. Good luck, Ethan.
I believe, and a lot of the manufacturers, if you look through what they're doing, it seems that most of them are taking a wait and see stance, as we've kind of already talked about, is let's see how this shakes out. Unlike investors at the stock market who are freaking out, going, oh my gosh, this is the end. So, yep, we shall wait and see. Let's move on to the sub-segment, Things You Shouldn't Ask on the Internet.
I like your game show host kind of intro to that. That's pretty good. We need a clip.
I feel like this should be a new game show.
Love it.
Okay, I think this is Reddit. Instagram. Look, it says right there, yeah, Instagram.
Well, no, Instagram's, either way, it's somewhere.
Sure. Somebody says, I just bought a 2016 Land Rover for $16,000. 2 days later, it's in the shop with every code lit up.
All right,
this dealership was referred by car gurus. They will do nothing, meaning the dealership. Do you think car gurus would do anything? My dream car equals lemon.
First of all, I am not in the business of attacking anybody's dream car, but a Land Rover is an interesting choice.
A 10-year-old Land Rover.
Yeah, like, woo-wee. If that's what you're dreaming about, maybe need to talk about something.
I think her dream turned into a nightmare.
I think so, my God. I'm not sure I'd want a $16,000 10-year-old Land Rover.
Yes, but you also should not ask the internet anything about this. The comments did not disappoint. A lot of people who knew nothing about Land Rovers or, for that matter, automotive purchasing law... which is who you should ask as a lawyer. Hey, can I go after car gurus for this? No, you can't. They're an advertising company. They didn't refer you to the dealership. And even if they did,
you still signed the paperwork.
Yes. You bought the car for the dealership, from the dealership. And if they'll do nothing, well, go after them if an attorney says you can. But stop asking people on the internet. Better advice would have been to ask beforehand. Should I buy a 2016 Land Rover for 16 grand? Because the resounding answer would be
no.
There you go.
Nuts for Sticks is a brand celebrating the manual transmission in all its forms. So forget those flappy paddles because we like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That's nutsforsticks.com and use code SWITCHCAST.
I think we've all come to love the online vehicle auctions. Well, most of us. Some people complain that it's all shill bidding and drama and fake stuff and that it's driven the value of vehicles up. Well, the auction is the vehicle by which these cars are sold. That's not the reason values are going up. However, I think the advantage of the online auction as a platform is that not only do you get a transparent marketplace with the open forum comments, so anybody can put their opinion in there.
For better or worse.
It's like Michael Scott's opinion of Wikipedia, yeah. Right? Anyone, anywhere can type whatever they want, so you know you're getting the best possible information. but also the mostly relevant descriptions that highlight service history, modifications, notable options, and stuff that buyers actually care about, or at least informed buyers. Usually there's underside photos, paint meter readings, comprehensive photo galleries. The ones that don't have those are the outliers. Some do this better than others, depending on the auction. And my opinion, Bring a Trailer has gotten a little bit like template-y, where they're a little more fluff and a little less specific relevant information, and that may be a CYA move.
I feel like you just got to skip. You read the first couple of paragraphs and then go to the comments. Like, I feel like everything after that, just based on my limited perception, this is not a, it feels very, I got the stats from Wikipedia.
It's still better than the typical car dealer listing.
Oh, those are bad.
Which is 20 sentences of why their dealer is such an amazing place to buy from, and then it just lists out power windows, power door locks, supplemental like restraint system, alloy wheels, electronic fuel ejection, AM FM radio, CD player, left and right turn signals, inner and outer fenders, driver and passenger airbags, and of course all that's based on a stupid federal law that requires you to disclose those things, but I don't think anyone cares about those things anymore. Every car has Apple CarPlay and backup cameras yeah. now, so nobody cares if it has central locking.
Well, and even then, past
you even know what central locking is?
It's the doors that what? What? Even Pat, once you get past the here's why our dealer's great, it's like, this car's amazing, buy it today. And then it goes into the screaming at you about airbags and central locking. it's wild.
Yeah, nothing you actually want to know about. So with that said, SBX Cars listed a 2003 Ferrari 360. And in my opinion, it was an absolute utter fail in terms of their description. It was incredibly detailed in terms of the specifics, right? It had what tires, the date codes on the tires, service history, service records uploaded, et cetera, all the modifications in detail, all the last services, an inspection report. So all really, really good things. But those, in my opinion, were overshadowed by the fact that it was listed as a Ferrari 360 Challenge Stradale Tribute. Usually, I would not waste this much breath on calling out somebody's auction, but it really chapped my rear end because I got excited. I want to buy a Stradale. I feel like I'm getting priced out. I want to do a stick swap, and I know there are some 360 sticks out there that have been converted essentially to be Challenge Stradale clones. I'm like, that's good enough for me. I just want the driving experience of a CS. I don't have to brag that I have a CS. So I thought, ooh, maybe this could be interesting. And I was very much misled. And I made my thoughts known in the comment section. And the seller got defensive. Now, I don't know if SBX was primarily responsible for the description or the seller himself. With other auctions, the auction house writes the description based on the information provided by the seller. So they're both a little bit to blame. But this one, I don't like. 2003 Ferrari 360 Challenge Stradale Tribute. In multiple locations, it uses different verbiage, including carefully executed 360 Challenge Stradale Tribute, comprehensive Challenge Stradale cosmetic updates.
It's also modified by a retired Porsche race car driver, because that really matters.
I mean, race car drivers know typically how to set up cars, so I'll give it that.
Can you not see the comments after a listing is over?
No, that's why I saved the page prior, so I can see.
What?
Yes,
that is some shady business.
Factory correct was used, and perfect relative to the level. What did they say? Perfect Challenge Stradale Tribute, not perfect condition. Perfect Challenge Stradale Tribute. Let's see. Comprehensive. I'm going to look up. We're going to use Webster's here because it matters. Comprehensive. Adjective.
He's pulling out a dictionary.
Complete, including all or nearly all elements or aspects of something.
Yes.
Going through this listing, the only thing I can determine that actually is from a Challenge Stradale is the transmission control unit, because it is a F1 gearbox, and the Challenge Stradale has a different TCU that gives you quicker shifts, etc. Apparently, it costs $5,000. That was a big deal. But that's it. Oh, it does have the Challenge Stradale rear script, so they got the badge.
Are the wheels not real?
The wheels are real, but they're 18-inch Challenge wheels that you could option on the 360. The Stradale has 19-inch wheels.
Ah, nice.
It does not have ceramic brakes. Big deal. It does not have. It has an aftermarket exhaust, aftermarket intake. They said that the suspension was set up and aligned to Challenge Stradale specifications. However, if you go into the details of the service records, he didn't even do Challenge Stradale shocks. He did K-Sport control sport coilovers, which I had never heard of. You Google them. It comes up mostly with Honda Civic and Subaru,
nice,
et cetera, results. So that's kind of their target demographic. Not saying they're good or bad. It's just, you know, when you say a car is Challenge Stradale suspension setup and alignment and you do K-Sport coilovers.
Very different.
Yes.
But this has the 360 Monda dash badge, Doug.
Yep, that's incorrect. Well, speaking of the interior. Oh, right. So they said that it has, let's see, interior tribute modifications, replacement, Challenge Stradale styled seats, custom upholstered in red Alcantara. But they're not. They look like Sparco, or not Sparco. They look like Recaro Sportsters. The Challenge Stradale has carbon fiber bucket seats, carbon fiber shells with Alcantara or leather. These aren't even close. They look like the eBay special.
Oh,
and
my
speaking
God.
Of the interior, Challenge Stradale is bare carbon fiber door panels, exposed metal in the floor pan, exposed welds. Like, there's no carpet. There's nothing. They did none of that. It's got carbon fiber center tunnel. And like, this is, it's just a 360 interior. They changed nothing. They didn't do the Stradale wheel. They didn't do the Stradale seats. It's full leather, full carpeting. I'm like, I don't know what you actually did. Even the carbon fiber side mirrors aren't the real Stradale ones. They're aftermarket ones because the real ones are too expensive.
These seats look, yikes.
They didn't do the Stradale front bumper. They didn't do the Stradale side skirts. They didn't do the Stradale rear bumper or diffusers. They didn't do the Stradale rear deck lid, which has the little spoiler lip. They did none of this. But this is a carefully executed, perfect, comprehensive Challenge Stradale tribute.
Yikes.
This really pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. Like, why you lie? Wait, one of the tribute modifications. One of the tribute modifications, Michelin Pilot 4S tires measuring 225/40 front, 285/30 five rear, whatever. No, those are tires.
Yeah, that's not a... I do feel... This feels to me... I have not seen this listing before tonight. I wanted to kind of come into this, you know, without any context. This just feels like the very typical, like, clout chasing social media BS that we see all over the place. Like, oh, my buddy's got a Challenge Stradale tribute. It's just like the real thing, I swear. And then it's...
It's definitely up badging.
Yeah. Hate up badging. Hate it so much. Well, I was going to, if you, this doesn't matter. If you, I'm going to ask it anyway. If you did a stick swap, but or got a stick 360 and made it look like a proper Challenge Stradale tribute, would you take the rear badge off? Because it's not actually a Challenge Stradale.
That's a very good question that I can't answer.
Because you keep it on, guys.
On my roof tribute. I don't tell anyone it's a roof or it's anything other than what it is, but I've had the badge since like I was a kid. And so I just always kept it. I was like, I want to put this on a car someday. So I have that there, but I am very quick to tell people it is not a roof. It is a Porsche.
Yeah.
Very quick.
And I think you haven't done any other badging. And while on the surface, I would probably point at somebody in a parking lot and be like, well, that's not a roof. I like your story with that. So maybe I should judge less.
Also, you could buy roof parts. You can. I bought roof wheels from Roof.
Oh, they look so
there's
good.
A lot of non-roof VIN'd cars that are out there that they just did roof modifications and you could buy the badges. I mean, heck, a couple weeks ago, we covered a car yes. that the guy said was a roof. He claimed he got sponsored by Roof yes. and they gave him VIN tags, which is totally false. That's a level.
Do you have roof VIN tags, Doug?
No.
But this guy doesn't have Challenge Stradale VIN tags. I don't see that on the tribute modifications list.
So he got called out by a couple people and was quite defensive and essentially said, well, the point was to duplicate the power, responsiveness, and handling of a Challenge Stradale. So he did all these aftermarket modifications to get it close. And I'll admit, when they did the video, I mean, it sounds amazing. A well-modified 360 is an awesome car.
Well, and I think that's the point, is like what this person was allegedly trying to do was not the problem. It's how it was presented.
Absolutely.
Just present Absolutely. It as a, hey, this is a modded 360 in the style of a Challenge Stradale. Cool. It's not carefully executed. It's not perfect representation. None of that.
None of that. And but he did say the reason why he was so intent on doing the Challenge Stradale style mirrors was that there was a wind tunnel test done with somebody, and they tested the aero of a Stradale versus a regular one, and the Stradale side mirrors provided better airflow into the engine intake ducts okay. behind the doors.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine, but that doesn't make it a Challenge Stradale tribute. Just say you did that for aero.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's like duplicating the Stradale's performance. Like, and he even said in his response to me, the cosmetics were secondary to the performance on this build. Then don't say it's a comprehensive cosmetic recreation. Stop lying. I mean, really, that's what it is. I don't know why this got me so bent out of shape, but like we have a 993 on our website that has way more than this guy spent on it, trying to make it like similar to a 993 RS, but not a clone. The guy was very like, this is not a clone. It's not, but it has a ton of real OEM Porsche 993 RS parts on it. And at no point did we describe it as a tribute or a clone or whatever. We said it was like an RS inspired build.
Yeah. And I think you're covered. Said,
here's what's actually on it.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. So. That's what I'm saying. This just feels like clout chasing to try to drive the value from somebody who doesn't know. And I'm still really, this is, you know, bug up my rear end. I really dislike that the comments are not shown on this page after the auction is completed. That feels intentional to hide things.
I think here's the reason. It's the same reason collecting cars doesn't show the high bid or any of the bids once it ends, because people will draw conclusions off of a no sale. And you should really only draw conclusions off of a sale.
Okay.
So I
do agree with that. I see. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're going to show the no sale, show the comments, because then you can see why maybe it no sale. But here's his defense to me, though. It's so funny. If you know much about the 360. Yeah, I don't know anything. You should know the TCU is a massive upgrade, which shouldn't be minimized. This one costs just over $5,000 and worth every penny. Okay, fine. I'm not minimizing that. I'm the fact that that's really the only Challenge Stradale part on this tribute. Blah, blah, blah. The Group M intakes together with a carbon fiber replica mirrors addresses the second major performance difference, which is responsiveness and power. This car makes as much power as a CS and slightly more while running significantly cooler, which benefits both performance and longevity. The brakes are more than adequate in response to the CCBs not being on there.
But this was carefully executed.
Right. The steel brakes are more than adequate, and replacing them is inexpensive versus the carbon ceramic. I'm like, if you really want a CS, be prepared to lay out $200,000 to $250,000 before all the repairs and upgrades that this car already has. Just call it what it is. I wouldn't have said a darn thing, and I wouldn't be making this podcast if you just told it like it was. And I mean, I feel like that's kind of the theme of all of this.
Yeah.
What we do here, we only shame people who try too hard, and in doing so, leave the truth in their rearview mirror.
Ugh.
My wife, her response was perfect. I explained to her what like a tribute was and the difference between Challenge Stradale and regular 360 as being like, she knows Porsche. So I'm like, it's like the GT3 RS to a 911.
Yeah.
And she said, she looked at it and I showed her everything. She's like, it's like a Timu version of a tribute.
That's so good. I love her perspective because she's not burdened by all the baggage and annoyance we have with so much of this.
Right. Right. All right. On to our ever popular license plate game.
Let's go.
Plate to sample. And we read a vanity license plate. And the other person has to guess, not having seen the plate before, what car it's associated with. So I have five.
I have five.
Seems to be our magic number. You go first.
That's a number you told me. All right. First up for you, Doug. Love cows. L-U-V-C-O-W-S. Need some Jeopardy music.
It's either like a Burger King executive or a farmer or a dude who likes fat chicks. I don't know. Pickup truck.
Oh, that is a Lamborghini Huracan.
Bull, I guess.
Cows. Okay. There it is. The face of a man in defeat already. I don't even need the rest of these. Whoo, I'm going to pack her in.
All right. Speaking of fat chicks, we got Pudge Mom.
Pudge Mom. What? There's no way.
I'm looking at it right now. You want me to run it on Carfax and see if it's legit? I'm telling you, this is a plate.
God, I don't think I can actually.
P-U-D-G-M-O-M.
Oh, it's a Chrysler Pacifica.
No.
Chrysler Voyager. That's a callback to the previous episode. I have no idea what this could be. Am I going to hate myself? Volvo XC60.
Hyundai Sonata.
Oh.
Hybrid.
Woo. All right. Next for you, Doug. Earned it. One.
Oh, it's low trim, base trim Mercedes.
It's not actually.
What?
I know. I was shocked.
So this is a new luxury Altima with their vanity plates, man. Base Mercedes bragging about their net worth.
Money flexing. It is a white 991 convertible in Florida, I think. Oh, no, this is Indiana.
All right. I guess. I might have given this one away. IC4NDY. So eye candy.
Oh, is that a base model Mercedes?
Sort of. It's AMG E53.
Yeah. Yeesh.
Yeah, I don't want to knock it, but it's definitely not eye candy. Those are not pretty cars.
I feel like if you have to say it is, it's not.
Maybe it's the driver.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
Gotcha.
Could be.
Next up for you, Doug, Pac Mam. P-A-C-M-A-A-M.
I get it, like Pac-Man.
But it's Pac-Man.
Is that a Voyager?
It is not, no.
Pacifica?
Nope.
Mini?
A negative. That is a yellow C4 Corvette. I don't know why it's Pac-Man related, but it's yellow. That's all I got.
Maybe. Here we go. F-N-N-A-D-E-R. Effinator.
Oh, is this a, what is it, a Ford Pinto or what did he,
Oh man.
Or no, a Corvair. Did he hit the Corvair?
Corvair. Yes. Thank you. Unsafe at any speed.
Oh, wasn't Corvair the Pinto the one where the gas tank would explode? So I'm not like too far off.
Maybe that also.
Okay. But it's the, yes, Corvair. Woo. Get to
that
keep my car.
A nice one
card
too. It looks like it's built for the Optima Challenge.
He. Okay, Doug, for you. EBITDAD, 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 or I don't even know how you'd say that.
It's earnings before interest, depreciation, taxes, and amortization, duh. I don't know what the last D is for.
I just thought it was like a dad who was like a financial dude.
Maybe it's a before and after thing. BMW 7 Series.
Right idea, but not quite. Sort of right
Mercedes
idea.
Mercedes S-Class.
Nah. Okay, I lied. It's a late model Range Rover, so it's like sort
okay.
of the...
Yep. Okay, on the right track. I think I was on the right track.
I think you so too, but then you went down more sedans, and I was like, no.
B-T-T-Y-W-T-E, Betty White.
Is this like a white Thunderbird?
Nope.
What would like Betty? Oh no, I'm thinking of, why was I thinking
you're
of Betty
on the
Boop?
Right track though.
What would Betty White drive? Is the car's white? Is that true?
Yes.
This has got to be like a Cadillac, like an old
nope.
60s Cadillac. Okay.
Ford Super Duty. What? Lifted.
I see. I said Ford. Okay. That was my right track. Last one for you, Doug. It's wood.
Morgan.
Yes, you're right. Nice.
Ah-ha-ha. Dang, got one. Last one for you. Invasion.
Is this like a lifted RAV4?
No.
Invasion.
It also appears to be in a foreign country because children are climbing all over it.
Is it a Toyota Tacoma?
No.
What is it?
It is a black wrapped Tesla Cybertruck.
See, that was going to be my first thing, but I was like, that's too cheesy.
I got to do an EV for you every week. There's always going to be one slid in there, but not your typical I hate gas plate.
Well, thank you to everyone who submitted those to me through switchcast.live. If you want to help me get some plates, because Doug is a lot more popular than I am and gets a lot of messages on social media, you can head over to switchcast.live and submit your plate. So thank you to Jordan P, Andrew M, Ryan M, Cullen J, and Paul K for all those.
I forget who sent me mine, but you'll know who you are. This episode is brought to you by Sheffield All Sport Watches. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jay Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All Sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one in July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid back in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine. Get yours at SheffieldWatches.com and mention that you heard about them on Switchcast. Steak and Shake has announced that it will transition to frying its fries, onion rings, and chicken tenders in 100% beef tallow, aiming for the highest quality and best taste. How is this car related, you may ask?
What? Thank God I didn't want to eat at Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake aiming at highest quality and best
that
taste is
make, no. I'm surprised it never got food
it's
poisoning.
It's like Helen Keller aiming at anything.
Why do we got to bring her into this? Come on.
It doesn't matter. She can't hear us. So
Ethan's, hey, as he's leaving us here to our own devices.
We will bring this around to cars. Here's the first connection. Steak and Shake has also announced an event. I guess it's an event. It's kind of like Cars and Coffee. It's Tallow and Teslas. Here what? We go, America. The day has finally arrived. Drive those Teslas to Steak and Shake and rejoice in tallow. Tallow and Tesla fries and friends. 2-for-1 fry special. Drive through only, apparently.
What? How? I'm just really, I'm trying to catch up. I really don't know what's going on. The wheels have come off. They were just...
Here's the real topic.
Tallows and...
Tesla's... apparently, Steak and Shake's the only people that are really pro-Tesla right now because Teslas are being destroyed and vandalized all over the country. Essentially, as a political statement in response to Elon Musk's alignment with the Trump administration, with his actions with Doge, and every time I hear Doge, I think of like Dogecoin. I think it's a ridiculous name, but anyway.
Well, that's why it's named like that, and I'm upset that it has tainted an innocent, wonderful meme from my childhood.
Of a cute little innocent investment.
Oh, no. The Doge to me is just an adorable Shiba Inu making a funny face, and you just say, wow, such intense. 3 stressful, 5 me. That's all I got. Like, I don't know. Like, that's the Doge. That's my Doge. All right.
All right. Well,
Pepperidge Farm
I
remembers
missed all that.
I was on the internet, Doug, in the late 2000s.
So anyway, Teslas are being destroyed. Violence, vandalism, fires, dealerships are being set on fire. All sorts of crazy stuff because people are mad at Elon Musk. Which is an intense irony because, well, I would argue that the same political group that used to buys EVs as a political statement, not as a good car. Lots of people choose EVs because they like them as a car. I'm not knocking that. But early days of EVs, Teslas were very much a political statement. Or
turns
so
out they
it
still
seemed.
Are.
And now it's like literally the opposite. So,
which I'm so against, and it's very difficult with the topics we've done recently with how much politics is related to cars. I don't like cars being politicized because they're something that should be fun or just an appliance. And I don't think any of that needs to be politicized.
Yes, the Cybertruck is a refrigerator. It's definitely fulfilling
yes.
that goal. But so there's not a lot of humor in the desecration of people's stuff. I don't care what your political views are. The response to it should not be destroying other people's things. For all you know, they may have the same views. They may hate that they drive a Tesla. And a lot of people do because they are trying to disguise...
Which... Look, I like a silver lining, Doug, and let me tell you, all of the people expertly badging their Teslas as other things, it's like they took a book out of the Fraud Tourist manual. Like, oh my gosh, Model 3 is badged as Honda Civics, just like everything placed so perfectly. It's amazing.
Those actually look somewhat convincing.
And I've seen Model S's badged as Mazda CX-5s. Like, it's so good.
I saw one, we'll put a photo up, where they used the T in the back and just put it at the end. They did a Toyota. Yes. But it was kind of like in Chicken Scratch.
I've also seen the Toyota in the font, like, from the 90s pickup truck that was in Toy Story. Like, oh, just so good.
I don't know that that'll work for you, but who knows?
Well, yeah, you can't hide a Cybertruck. I feel like you can hide a Model S and a Model 3 pretty well. Just park a Cybertruck somewhere in the dishwasher aisle at your local Lowe's and nobody will see it. Nobody will know.
This article, though, I find it funny. I'm sorry that I do, but it is funny. A Texas Menace, this is from NewYorkPost.com and a lot of other sites. Texas Menace accused of ramming mini four-wheeler into parked Teslas in chaotic spree. An ATV riding Texan was a massive problem to Texas Tesla owners, when he allegedly rammed his four-wheeler into multiple cars. Allegedly, there's video of it. During an unprovoked hit-and-run spree on Tuesday. I think he would argue that it was not unprovoked. Demarquian Marquis Cox was arrested after one of his alleged attacks was recorded by the Tesla he purposely ran into.
Did he put like a plow on the front of it? How are you running a four-wheeler into a car and thinking you're going to win?
He's got like some push bars on the front. It very much looks like a homemade four-wheeler. There's no fenders on it at all.
It's built for purpose.
I don't think it was a mini four-wheeler. I think that size was relative in this case. We'll get there. The 33-year-old allegedly spotted the electric vehicle sitting in the parking lot of a Golden Palace Chinese buffet while its owner was having lunch inside the restaurant.
Look, buffets are punishment enough. We don't need a gastrointestinal distress.
Let's see. Cox loaded back and rammed head-on into the side of the red Tesla. The 5'2", 449-pound driver left noticeable damage to the front driver side door of the Tesla.
Ah.
I don't think... you wonder why he was at the Chinese buffet.
I was just wondering if they also use beef tallow when they fry up their sweet and sour chicken. You know what I'm saying?
This is why I think they got it wrong when they said it was a mini four-wheeler. 5'2" is short and 449 pounds is round by any definition. I mean, this is like a giant Oompa Loompa. He's even wearing all blue. He looks like the blueberry. She's the blueberry girl in that movie.
Ethan, where's the eject button?
The four-wheel menace was stopped by cops just over a mile south of the Golden Palace as an officer recognized Cox from the Chinese buffet video.
Didn't take him long to catch up. Just neat down the road.
Not many people matching that description of the homemade four-wheeler, that is. Cox allegedly claimed to be a different person and provided a false name during his initial interrogation with police.
Took the shaggy defense. It
wasn't
me.
Officers didn't fall for the cocky, they should have said coxy, attitude and arrested the man.
Yeah, book 'em, boys.
Apparently he did damage three different Teslas.
I just feel like, honestly, people got too much time on their hands. This is all so unnecessary.
He also allegedly carved Elon into the side of the other two cars, seemingly a reference to Tesla CEO Elon Musk.
Seemingly, yes. We can't confirm or deny the source of that. Yeah.
Anyway, in related news, let's see. Well, hold on. I got to get my joke in first. So, you know, Tesla's is political statements, right? They were a political statement for the, you know, against global warming and all that stuff. Yeah. Now it's like a anti-political statement, but BMWs will always be neutral. They'll never be a political statement.
Why is that?
Because in order to virtue signal, you first have to signal.
Oh yeah. They ain't doing any of that. Nope.
Thank you.
For the audio listeners, Doug started this episode with his hat very tilted to the side. Now it is straight on. Does that mean we're getting to the serious business? Does that mean facts are coming in?
Is that the, do I have position?
I don't know. It was just funny. You started this one talking about beef tallow with steak and shake with it, like really cocked to the side. I was like, we're off the rails. Ethan isn't even going to upload this.
In related news, Tesla sales are way down for Q1 2025 and not due to a lack of production. Stocks are down as well and worse than Carvana. Tesla, as of the date of this recording, is down 41% year to date, which is woof.
The yikes.
Carvana is down 12% comparatively. Which essentially matches the Dow Jones index, which is down 11% again as of the.
Is it time to buy car? It's back up to $176, and that's down 12% from where it was at. at the beginning
of
the year.
Down like 25% where it was at its second high last year before that short report was brought out.
I wouldn't be worried about the prices of GT3s if I would have just dumped everything into this, Doug.
Yes, well, people said that with Tesla, and they did do it with Tesla, and now they're feeling the pain. Single stocks are never advisable by investment experts for investing because you have this crazy kind of volatility, right? The CEO goes to work for the president. Oh, this will be great for the company. No, it's terrible.
It's like, oh, God.
Yes, AutoNation is down 7%. CarMax is down 10%. So Carvana is kind of mirroring the stock market and everybody else, but Tesla is 4x the loss year to date. But all that could change. Who knows? By the time this is released, I mean, the tariffs, all this stuff going on, everything's up and down all over.
Like we said before, at least I said, I don't know, if the stock market is just vibes. And obviously, as we've seen by people kicking Teslas, the vibes are not good. So number go down.
Well, we'll end on this. This is the kind of crazy hate people are getting on their Teslas. Somebody printed this up with a logo and everything. I do not condone this or not condone it or whatever. We are just reading this because it's definitely controversial. Sorry about your swastika is the headline of this. And it's got a Tesla logo with the swastika like in the middle of it.
Ugh.
We know you didn't sign up for this. Once upon a time, Teslas were cool. They were futuristic, fast, and felt like a step toward a better world. No one could have predicted that Elon Musk would go full Nazi apologist. And now here you are driving around in a rolling PR disaster. Or maybe just a car?
I do believe they are just cars.
I mean, do we want to talk about Volkswagen's origination? The Volkswagen bug was originally called the KDF. Do some homework on that.
Yes.
So, yeah. But don't worry. There's still time to get out before the resale value crashes harder than Twitter. How to escape your Tesla faster than Elon can lose advertisers. Sell it ASAP. Lease, transfer it. Trade it in. Some dealerships will still take a Tesla, especially if you're getting into a different EV. Ironically, last year, a lot of dealerships, used car dealerships, stopped taking EVs on trade at all because they all were falling so fast, especially Teslas, not because of politics, but because Tesla had announced just crazy price cuts. So like dealerships are like, we're not touching that. It's like trying to catch a falling knife. No way. Let's see. Better EV options that won't age like a bad tweet.
It's still going.
Ionic. Oh, I'm like summarizing. Rivian R1S for those who wanted a Cybertruck but have taste. Polestar 2 and 3. Scandinavian cool, no billionaire baggage. Ford Mustang Mach-E. Classic name, modern tech, no weird billionaire cult. Okay.
Boy. Howdy. That sure is something.
People are nuts. People are absolutely nuts.
Yes.
Well, on that note, it's time for the props and flops of the week.
Brought to you by Switch Cars. And you all know that Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com and be sure to mention SwitchCast for special pricing. You can find more information also at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in Twinsburg, Ohio. It is not beautiful today, I can assure you that. But anyway, Doug, inside the dealership, what is the pick of the week?
The pick of the week is a 2011 Chevrolet Grand Sport Coupe in supersonic blue over titanium gray with 34,000 miles on it.
Over gray, you say?
Yes. So well, but it's two-tone. It's like the gray centers and the black doors.
That's good.
Nice. I really, really like the Grand Sports. And the coupes with the manual transmission get better internals in the engine, different crankshaft versus the automatics and the convertibles. So if you want to be like Mr. One of One, my Corvette's better, you buy a manual transmission Grand Sport. Technically, it's better than a Z06 even, because LS7s have head failure, you know. So it's the best. It's the sneaky best. That one's already sale pending, so too late anyway. But what about the yellow one?
Yeah, the yellow one was hot.
Yellow one's coming soon. By the time the podcast airs, that one will be listed and maybe sold already as well. Our flop of the week. This has been going around everywhere on the internet.
Yes.
A guy won a raffle for a 991 GT3 RS.
Heck yeah. Love it.
Apparently went out and got drunk and wrecked it.
Oh, don't love that.
No, very, very soon after. So everybody was posting the pictures online. He was arrested for suspicion of DUI, of course, right? Innocent until proven guilty. So, yeah, if you win a Porsche, don't do this.
Or just like, I don't know, don't drive drunk. At all,
well, that
regardless
too.
Of if you won a Porsche or not.
Right, how many people wrecked their cars drunk in the last week? Yeah. And he was the only one that became internet famous because of it. Because it was in a purple Porsche that he had won in a raffle. Ugh.
Anyway, Doug.
Thankfully, nobody was hurt. That's why we can make fun of it. I think his ego was hurt, and he shut down his social media because everybody was tagging him.
Yikes.
Prop of the week. Everybody sells their cars based on low mileage, based on, you know, rare, one of one spec, whatever, whatever.
But carefully executed.
Carefully executed challenge to Dolly tribute. Yeah.
You get that all fired up again.
Golly, and I can't find this description again. Here it is. Okay, Auto Kennel has a Ferrari 308 for sale, and instead of talking about the mileage or rare spec, because it is gold. How many gold Ferrari 308s do you have? They told the stories of the owner. He had had it for the past 44 years, and when first registering the car, he said the DMV meatbag, his words, argued with this owner that it was a four-cylinder because nobody would own a V8 during the gas crisis. He once pulled up to a stoplight, and a woman who was a passenger in the car next to him got out and said she preferred to be a passenger in his car.
Nice.
He politely declined and motored on. His daughters recall entering it into the local Concours events, but instead of being part of the Ferrari display, they would enter it into the quirky class, and the whole family would decorate their car with balloons, flowers, and pictures that the kids drew.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, when his daughters were 7 or 8 years old, they would have him take their school crush for a ride, and he let them both sit in the car. 7 or 8? What school crush is it? 7 or 8? Okay. Weird. This Ferrari isn't parked in a Garage Mahal, and not one built by Scott Stellman or Gearhead Grotto. More coming on that soon.
Yeah, because those don't exist.
Some grandiose man cave, but instead sits humbly in their garage next to their Toyota Sequoia family hauler. And it could be yours now.
Love that. Heck yeah. How many miles are on it? Do you know?
Don't know. Don't care.
Love
really
it.
Really don't care. It's got stories. Who cares what the digits are on the odometer? Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.